Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show. Riding in my car. And I'm listening to the radio. It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what is going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey man.
I hope you're having a good day. Mike Bell, I'm loving this weather. It's so nice outside. This is what we've been waiting for. Hope you are enjoying it as well, guys. We got a lot to get to this afternoon. And we were talking about this in the bullpen as we were getting ready for the show. Falcons, guys, they're asking everybody who's going to the game on Monday night, wear black. Mike and I will be broadcasting down there from starting at 2 o'clock. And, you know, they're telling everybody it's a blackout. So make sure if you're going to the game. And, Mike, I think they're going to be wearing those cool black jerseys. Now, you like those jerseys?
As long as we win.
Oh, Lord.
Not a big fan of the game jersey antics, but as long as everybody's excited on the same page, as long as it works, that's all good. A little more concerned about how we're going to play the Giants on the field. But again, as long as – hey, you know what would be a really nice start? Is everybody in their seats. Because you know what the color of the seats are, Carl?
What's that?
Red. So if the black people – like people wearing black clothing are in the red seats, it'll look great. Otherwise, there'll be a lot of people looking like red jerseys because the seats will still be empty. Get in your seats and watch the freaking game.
Yeah, listen. Okay? It's been something we've talked about. I don't disagree with you. Last week, it was maddening to see what was going on.
I mean, I look around, and I know we've already discussed all the new bells and whistles, and every time a new group of people come in for the first time, they want to wander around the stadium and check it out. But there's a time for doing that. It's called before the game. So, anyway, hopefully, yes. I mean, like, it is fun because people do dig it. And, you know, me, you and I have got enough Falcon swag. We got all the colors of the Falcon rainbow. So we're ready to roll. But it should be a good vibe. And we'll be down there, by the way, on Northside. We'll be doing the show before the pregame shows kick in. So come by and say hi if you're doing the tailgate thing early.
We'd love to get a chance to see you. That's for Monday. Friday, we're at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Just giving you kind of a rundown on what's going on with Dukes and Bell as we'll be out there. And so will our Hey Man L on tap, guys, for you to come check it out. So, if you get a chance, if you live in that area, or even if you don't, come see us, and we want to have a good time and get a chance to meet you and hang out a little bit Friday from 2 to 7 at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. With that said, man, last night NBA season kicked off. There's some great Major League Baseball playoffs going on, and I just don't know how much attention you're paying to that, but it is something that's happening. But one thing that is going on is what has been called the curious case of Julio Jones in the red zone. And we've talked about it. We've talked a lot about it. Leading into the season, and now that we're into the season. And, guys, Julio, when you look at his numbers, 707 yards already. Okay, he had 1,400 yards last year. I think, Mike, if he continues his pace, he's going to surpass that. I think he's going to catch more balls than he did last year. He caught 88. He's already got 44. But he's yet to get in the end zone. Mm-hmm. And we always say, what is the deal? What's going on with this? And we invite you to follow us across all social media platforms, guys. 92.9 The Game. Like us on Facebook if you've not done so with the radio station. He is on Twitter at Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, see Dukes, and follow the radio show at Dukes and Bell. Ted Wynn, who's a staff writer for the NFL, does film work and different things and writes different stories, did a story today, and it wasn't just specifically on Julio, but it was about some other plays around the league. But he points out, and I went and, you know, I retweeted, I want you to check it out. But it shows, Mike, the impact that Julio has in the red zone. And I just think you know, for all the conversation we've had, and certainly we're all frustrated because we want our star receiver to have more touchdowns.
Right.
But you see how teams are attempting to defend him, and it's leaving Calvin Ridley open. It's leaving Hoop open. It's leaving Coleman open in some cases. And those guys have been scoring the touchdowns. It's not Julio, but if he's not on the field, I don't know if those guys are open.
I mean, it is the great chicken and the egg, man. We've been talking about it for a while. We had so many conversations about the touchdown production in the preseason. But as long as the results are wins and Matt's throwing for over 350 yards and touchdowns and no picks, who cares? The greatest single season for receivers recently, you're looking at Calvin Johnson, Megatron. Back in 2012, 1,964 yards. He had five touchdowns.
Right.
Only five. I mean, by his standards. Because the year before, I'm just looking at the numbers, he had 16 touchdowns. And the year after, he had 12. So there is something to be said for the guy that makes the big catches, I guess, in an offense with multiple weapons. And the other guys will also reap the benefits.
I thought last week that he might catch one or two, just the way that Tampa was playing. And you saw how Matt got into a rhythm. But I also think this is a credit. And guys, is for all the things that have gone wrong with the injuries for our team this year, this is something that is going right. And that is Matt Ryan playing at such a high level that he's making seemingly all the right decisions when it comes to the red zone. And you got to give credit where credit's due. So if you get a chance, go check that out. It's a great film study of a couple of plays. I think it's from the Carolina game and then the Bengals. And it shows some red zone opportunities for the Falcons and how things turned out. But Julio, who may have been the primary receiver, Mike, double team. Safety immediately looking over there. Linebackers immediately. And that's how they attempt to play Julio. The bottom line is teams are not going to allow him to beat them.
Right. And as we said in the Philly game, unfortunately, because, you know, when Matt was struggling with the pass rush, you know, he starts to look for Julio. And our producer, Bo, kind of came up. We were joking around calling it the Squidbilly hypothesis. But there is something to be said for it in times when Matt's in trouble. He's looking for his go-to guy. So whatever the adjustments were, however, you know, differently the defenses play, perhaps more about maybe not having Fletcher Cox in his face. I don't know. But he's got better time or more time to make better decisions. And even when he is rushed, for some reason he's not forcing it to Julio in these games. Even in the games we lost, like the Bengals and the Saints, we still had a lot of variety. Everybody got a chance to touch the football.
No doubt about it. 404-741-0929. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. So for those who listen to us all the time and you know we've been critical of that particular situation, and rightfully so. Again, I would love to see him go off a game and catch three or four, potentially. I don't know if it'll happen. But maybe at the end of the season, when it's all said and done, maybe he has six, Mike. And, you know, with the yards and the catches, and if we're winning, I will have no complaints. Here's the other thing, guys. If Julio surpasses the number of catches he had last year and the yards, does he deserve a new contract?
Well, see, this is the thing. And this is what it, where let's get where the rubber hits the road. Touchdowns are still how you win football games. All right, we just gave Julio a nice little bouquet that, hey, offense is all doing well. And all. You're not getting a raise if I'm not getting more balls in the end zone. I mean, you're the world's greatest decoy. Or is the argument his agent's going to throw out there, you're so instrumental in the success of the offense by being the guy that draws the double and triple teams that the Falcons have to give you a bump? Because I think that's going to be the conversation, which a lot of teams would say, you know what, pound sand on that.
I got to tell you, Mike, if he has 1,500-plus yards and over 100 catches, which he could easily do, again, he's already at 44. He had 88 total last year. He deserves a raise.
Because his agent could say, look, it's your job to design better plays to get them the ball in the end zone or get him in the red zone where he can then, you know, yards after the catch and go. Look, he's come close to breaking some plays, too. Don't forget, in addition to those tough yards, and we saw it last week, I mean, double coverage right at the sticks. He's taking contact, too.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Is there ever a catch where Julio is not getting hit? I mean, go back and look at it. It's rare that Julio gets to catch the ball and just pop out of bounds.
So, you know, for me, and this was the thing when you know, it all went down with the contract adjustment, it was simple. We said, Julio's got a ball out. Guys, he is. I mean, I don't know how else you could say that he's not when he's having this kind of effect on the game. I think this is one of the positives that we can at least say right now is good for our football team. Even though our star wide receiver is not necessarily catching touchdowns every game, he is affecting the game in such a way that I think it's opened up the offense for other guys. And I just asked that question because, you know, a lot of guys might agree with you, Mike. If you're not catching touchdowns, I'm not paying you more money. But, man, what an impact this guy is already having.
He's the only guy in the top 10 receiving that doesn't have a touchdown in the NFL. Names like Adam Thielen and Diggs, DeAndre Hopkins, Tyreek Hill, Schuster from the Steelers, Devontae Adams, Robert Woods, Michael Thomas from the Saints, all guys that have scored touchdowns and are up there in the elite yardage department.
It is interesting, guys. Want to hear from you, 404-741-0929 on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We're going to give you a chance to win some money coming up. We mentioned the Hawks get their season underway tonight. We'll talk plenty about it coming up. And, you know, people were asking us, what are the expectations? We're having this debate in the bullpen about the wins. The over-under, Bo, is what, 24? I think 24 is the over-under. Total wins. You don't think they're going to get more than 24 wins?
It's a really down Eastern Conference. You know, I do think that you know, with Trae Young, and we, you know, by the way, we're going to start this season obviously without Collins, but you know, once you get that pick and roll going, and once you start to see some of the things which this offense can become, even with you know guys journeyman Vince Carter at the end of his career, Jeremy Lin, when you look at some of the other rosters, Carl, in the NBA Eastern Conference, you know, if you win 26, 27, okay, that's an improvement. I mean, you could also argue that the how low can you go?
How low can you go?
Because, I mean, here's the thing. If you're going to be the eighth seed, it's not like Travis Schlick's going to invest in trying to do something at the trade deadline because that's not the big picture.
No.
The big picture is obviously to get this thing built to where we can become a team that makes a run like Golden State or any other elite squads in the NBA. So, I mean, yeah, it's nice. You could argue just by, you know, rolling the balls out there, we might actually win 38, 40 games.
I think so, man. Listen, I'm picking them more than 24 and a half, or 24. I think it's 23 and a half is the number. I just think they're going to be in that 30 to 35.
So you're
going to
sniff the eighth seed or not?
You might. you just might in this Eastern Conference. Last night, you know, I'm watching. And by the way, if you ask Hawk fans right now, and I said, if you had a chance to get to the playoffs, would you want to do it with right. this team? Most Hawk fans, I don't know where you're at. You want to go to the playoffs or do you want another high draft pick? We've got potentially three first-round picks in next year's draft.
43 wins got the Wizards, the eighth seed. Detroit had 39 last year. The Hornets had 36. The Knicks are dead in the water. They got 29 right now. Brooklyn Nets even deader in the water. They had 28 wins. The Orlando Magic. I mean, everybody's in a transitional period at the bottom of the Eastern Conference, and that's why you could make the argument if Trae Young is as good as we think he is, that he had 35 wins as possible.
that's
and also, by the way, as bad as the East is, I don't think 43 wins get you the eighth seed. I think a lot less wins could get you that spot.
You just laid it out with all the teams. That's one of the reasons why I'm picking more than just 24. Maybe you're not.
But here's the thing.
What?
It doesn't help us. We want the number one seed because somebody else, whoever you have on your short list, and we have our man, Deshaun Tate, he's already put this list out there. Somebody else is going to emerge. Somebody from Kentucky. Somebody from Duke or Carolina. Then we're going to go, ooh. And you're going to want that guy along with Trae Young and John Collins.
You know what? I want? I want to be entertained. Entertain me is
now,
what I want.
The other side of the argument, real quick, is if you do compete for the eighth seed and it looks like we've got a spark and we're ahead of schedule, can you attract other free agents? Because this offseason was not the great free agent class. Next season is.
All right. We'll talk about it, guys. And a lot of people talking about the pressure on Trae Young. I don't think there is. We'll get into that coming up. Also, at 3 o'clock, Brian Baldinger is going to join us. We'll talk some football with him as part of our NFL Blitz segment. Let's give you a chance to win some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Tag. You're it. Tag, T-A-G.
Well, that's easy, boy. Keep it down to one syllable for some of our listeners. Tag goes to 72881. Tag. You text it, guys. We give you five chances during our show. It starts with Frick and Hugh in the morning. We go all the way to 7 o'clock. So this hour, the word is tag. Text that to the number 72881 for 1,000.
All right, by the way, Rick and John, you guys should be ashamed of yourself. This site is ridiculous. Talking about the research material.
How does that stuff get on the... We have all these like filters that are in place for that kind of filth.
It's Preacher Man. I don't know what he's doing. Obviously, he's doing something to get this site material up here.
Paul Bible is a man of God, and that's going to get you speaking in tongues.
All I'm going to say is thank you. Coming up, headlines next on Dukes and Bell.
Because you know what the color of the seats are, Carl?
What's that?
Red. So if the black people...
Hey, football fans, hanging out. You can with Andy Bunker and Jarvis at Jimmy's Tequila. It's in Doraville. It's Thursday, all right? Thursday from 8:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. to watch Thursday Night Football. Jimmy's Tequila, located in Doraville off of Peachtree Industrial Boulevard near the intersection of Tilly Mill Road is where they're at, guys. And you can go out there and hang out with the guys. They're there hanging out. Apparently, they told me something about wings and drinks and just a good time that they had out there last week. So if you get a chance Thursday night, you want to go watch the game and see our man Andy Bunker, Bunker Pants, Bucky Pants, and Jarvis, go by and check those guys out. Real quick, and it's part of our headlines, but we do need to talk about it. And Mike, you know, we'll get into the Braves situation with Alex Anthopoulos saying, listen, we're gonna increase our payroll. We're going to spend more money. Where? I'm not sure yet. But you asked me just moments ago about Machado. A guy, by the way, during the trade deadline, a lot of Braves fans were saying, go get this guy.
Hey, you and I were talking about it.
You know, he wasn't the missing piece for us where we were or where we currently are. But the Dodgers did, and they trade for him. But now you see these antics.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really know because how much are you watching the Orioles? They've been so terrible this year. But Machado is another just a man-child, and if you didn't see it, he goes down the first base. Basically, he's loafing it down the first base line if you didn't see it. And the Brewers first baseman on a pretty easy put-out to the shortstop, he basically drags his leg and runs it over the ankle of Jesus Aguilar. And it was just really jive. Now, some are saying Aguilar kept his foot on the bag too long. Last time I checked, there was no rule about how long a first baseman had got to keep his foot on the bag.
Right.
And there was still three quarters of the bag for him to land on. But he blew it off in the postgame. But I give credit to the Brewers players, to a man. Christian Yelich said he's a dirty player. He's always had the rep as a dirty player. And now this series has got a little extra hot sauce in it as the Dodgers, with a guy Bellinger who couldn't get arrested so far this postseason, gives you the walk-off single, the game winner last night.
Yeah, I think he was one for like 22 in those situations. Listen, it's a series. We said it would be. But the whole Manny Machado thing, and after the game, you know, they're asking him about that, and he's like, oh, you know, what stays in between the lines stays in between the
lines.
You
know, I'm not a Charlie Hustle guy. No one's ever going to confuse you for that. So for the first time, actually for the second time, I guess, in less than a decade, the Dodgers have another Manny being Manny. Because if you remember, at the old days, they got Manny Ramirez at the end of his career doing kind of goofy stuff.
Well, yeah. And Manny produced. I mean, he was still a guy. Wasn't in his prime at that point, but you're absolutely right. And that was kind of the running joke. Either way, I know we'll talk about the Braves coming up. But, you know, for those who think Machado's the answer, it makes no sense with where we currently are and what you have on the diamond right now. I do think the Bryce Harper thing is a play, but not necessarily Manny Machado. Hey, Craig's behind the glass today, our engineer. Bo Morgan producing the show. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Let's start with Coach Quinn and, you know, our Falcons, guys. Big Monday night game. And I say that because after beating the Bucs, it'd be nice to get this W heading into the bye week. It would put us in a really good position coming out of the bye November 4th against the Redskins. That game's on the road. Coach talks about, Mike, something we've been talking about, and that is getting pressure but not sacks.
We definitely look at it like the more disruptive you can, and especially at the defensive line spot or on a blitz, you know, when you're really getting up the field and knocking guys back and making the play have to change, we still count it as a missed tackle or a missed sack, but we definitely encourage that's, you know, part of our style, so we definitely want to see that.
I mean, it's the NFL. Everybody's got athletes, but the Giants have really got some great athletes. I know Odell Beckham has become a sideshow, even the owner Mara saying shut up and play. But if Odell in space or, you know, Saquon Barkley in space, and now you can add into the mix Evan Ingram, who looks like he's going to be good to go. He says he's hoping to add a spark to the Giants' offense. He has been banged up, has missed a number of weeks. When he was on the field, he had a touchdown over 100 yards. But the Ole Miss star says he's going to be good to go. And, again, an extra day because of Monday to get ready.
The whole sack thing is another issue with our football team right now. Now, with the way the Giants' offensive line is banged up, we could have a big night Monday. I mean, it just it may play out that way.
Are you going to throw Tack next to Vic? We're going to see more of that because we just Tack and Vic, as far as bookends, just doesn't seem to get it right now. I mean, I say get it, I mean get to the quarterback and get him on the ground.
Mike, I saw something somewhere today, and I'll have to look back where I saw it, but it was talking about when Grady and Tack and Vic are on the field with Jack Crawford. We have one of the best defensive lines just from a number standpoint when you start breaking down, you know, pressures and stopping the run and yards per carry and all that stuff. Problem is, Grady's not been out there, and I don't know if he'll be this week. They're hopeful, but it's a great question.
Huge. That would be huge.
It is. It is.
Because like, I know we talked about it yesterday. Eli Manning kind of is, you know, a present punchline to a joke. And he is in New York. I mean, they're killing him up there. They've been all season and last season. They're happy to have Saquon Barkley, but they need that next franchise quarterback. There's even talks, as we said, for trading for a quarterback this year. But if you give Eli Manning time, and that's the thing, as bad as he's been, Crow, you give him 4 seconds back there, he's going to find somebody. He's going to hurt you.
He is a vet. Meanwhile, our Hawks, true to Atlanta, get underway tonight. You can listen right here on Sports Radio 92.9. The game, guys, pregame at 7, tip-off at 7:30. We want to send a big shout-out to our man, Steve Holman. He will be broadcasting his 2,500 consecutive game tonight. It's an impressive feat. Congratulations to Steve.
I'm proud of it. I'm proud that I show up to work every day. And, you know, it's fun every night for me still. It's just like the first night that I've ever done it. And tonight is especially exciting because, you know, this young group that we have, tomorrow starts today, you know, and they're going to be pretty exciting. I don't know how many games we're going to win, but it's going to be an exciting year and it's going to be a fun year. And, you know, you go top to bottom on this squad and you've got Vince Carter starting tonight too. It's going to be 42 in January.
Yeah, he can still dunk. By the way, you heard Steve Holman on the morning show with John Freaky and Hugh Douglas. Tomorrow starts today. That is the phrase the Hawks are using. You've seen it on some of their stuff that they've already put out. The Killer Mike promo is out there if you've not seen it. I retweeted it today. It's it's awesome. And I'm cool with this, man. Tomorrow starts today. I mean, there are a lot of things that this team is going to continue to build on. But it starts today, Mike, and it starts literally tonight.
Certainly, guys, as we said, we laid out some of the scenarios. If you heard the first segment of the show, yeah, you want to win, Carl. People want to see the team compete. They want to see, you know, Trae Young do some great stuff. And let's compete for that eighth seed. And then maybe next year, through the luck of the draw, we continue to add some free agents. But there is a part of me, and I know it's kind of a poo-pooer on the opening, the curtain opener for the season to say, yeah, I'm not uncomfortable with this team winning just 24 games again. Loading it up. Loading it up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We got a framework here. Add some more pieces, you know. Another shooting guard, another power forward.
Add some depth.
I've just thrown it out there.
I hear you.
I mean, you know, you look at the elite teams, they've got tons of guys. But the way that Golden State became Golden State, it was a combination of obviously building through the draft, and then you're able to augment that later and make the moves to bring in the veterans.
I think the Hawks, guys, and we'll get into this as we get through the day here, I think they're going to be very entertaining. I think that the notion, and I don't know what you think here. If you're going into this season tonight and going, Trae better average 30 a game, that's not happening. He may give you 15, but he may give you 8 a game as well, and I'm talking about assists. If he's willing to do that, Mike, and if he's able to do that, Trae Young's going to be just fine getting other guys involved. I really like the game of Taurean Prince. I think Collins, when he's back and healthy, I mean, he's going to miss allegedly these first three games is what they're saying. But John Collins and Mike, we talked to him. We've had him on the show. We had him at Grady's event. Collins is a budding star. I really believe that, guys. So, you know, as Mike said, you add some other pieces, we'll see where this goes, but I'm looking forward to seeing what they've got.
Hey, Lloyd Pierce says he's looking for a little Linsanity to return to Madison Square Garden tonight. Talking to Ian Begley from ESPN, he goes, I'm looking to recreate Linsanity tonight. We're looking to get that going now. Obviously, he had his sort of coming out party wearing the orange, white, and blue.
Real quick, to rehash, we were talking about the Falcons real quick. Big shout out to that Georgia boy. That's his Twitter address. He sent the information I saw earlier today, and it had to do with these four guys, McKinley, Jarrett, Crawford, and Beasley. When they're on the field, they're allowing 4 yards per passing play. That would rank first in the NFL. We haven't had that combination consistently, but the PTF or Pro Football Talk segment here talks about the Atlanta Falcons and their D-line and where we currently are. But those are the guys, Mike, that I want on the field consistently.
Because that's the thing we've had. And remember last year we would have that kind of heat and then it would kind of go away. We'd have some lulls. We talked about that. I mean, I don't know about you, brother, but I mean, Jameis Winston had time to pat the football, go to his secondary guys, go through his progressions, and it happened also with Andrew. Now, Andy Dalton got the ball out a lot quicker, I thought.
Yeah.
But certainly moving forward, we're going to have to continue. Look, those numbers are certainly great, but we have those bodies, those pieces on the field to create more of that. That sounds awesome.
More headlines, guys. Last night, as we get back to the NBA, Hawks tonight, Knicks. Last night, we got a chance to see Gordon Hayward back after that horrific leg injury the previous year. It was literally opening night last year. He missed the entire season. He played last night.
Man, it was so good to be out there. Such a blessing that I was able to play basketball again. And so the first 2 minutes, I was super gassed. Had so much adrenaline going, but just a blessing.
So Celtics win 105-87 over the Sixers. A lot of people think that's going to be the Eastern Conference Finals, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We'll see. Celtics look just a lot better than the 76ers, who everybody is picking. By the way, Fultz. What do you make of Fultz? He was a first overall pick, and I'm not impressed.
What, did he play 11 games last year?
Yeah.
And then there some of those were the coaches' decisions. It wasn't just injuries. I don't know. I mean, he's a guy that's, you know, on paper, and what he was supposed to be in college should be a perfect fit for you. Playing the two, right, for Fultz?
Markelle Fultz.
I mean, they're a team learning how to win, I guess. Wasn't that the argument that was put out there last year? Some valuable playoff experience, and now they'll hopefully make, if you're a Sixers fan, that is, you make that progression. You take the next step. But I don't know. I wouldn't pencil them in any kind of final just yet.
All right. I did stay up last night just to see the ring ceremony because the game was on late. There was no way I was going to stay up to midnight and watch
that.
The
rings are amazing.
The top comes off of the rings. Craig, I'm going to bring you in this because I know you're a Dubs fan. The top of the ring comes off?
Yeah, it's like a reversible. And on the inside, it said the strength in numbers that you see on all their T-shirts. And the jackets that they had were pretty bad, too.
The champion jackets?
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. I always thought, like, when they get those replica rings for sales for the fans, it's kind of goofy. But, boy, I mean, it's got the Golden Gate Bridge with diamonds. I mean, that was tight. I tell you what.
Diamonds and sapphires.
I mean, I'd be honest with you. I was like, wow, that's something you don't see every day. That was over the top.
They still get ridiculously bigger every year, don't they? I mean, they just do. Well,
if you get any bigger, you can have a softball on your finger.
I know. I mean, I saw him hand one of the players their ring, right. And he, like, had it in both hands. You know, he's like, he took it and cupped it.
Well, I mean, like, Randy Cross, he used to work here, and let me try on his Super Bowl ring, and it was a good-sized ring, but these things are, like, double the size of what the NFL used to give away.
It's crazy. Warriors win over the Thunder 108-100. If you're wondering, Dennis Schroeder, former Hawk, did play well. He had 21 points, but...
What's up with his lid, man?
I don't know. He looked like the Demolition Man. I mean, even worse. It was awful. He had taken the blonde out, by the way, for those who missed this, because you hadn't been paying attention to Dennis. And then last night when the game comes on, I'm like, oh, he did it again.
Surprised it was so close without Westbrook in there?
Yes, I was.
I mean, I was waiting for the Golden State to kind of, in the first quarter, there was like 10, 11-point lead, and I was kind of figuring waiting to come out in the second half and put him away, and it didn't happen.
Here is Steph Curry. He had 30. His first jumper over Dennis Schroeder.
Curry away from a loony screen, changes direction, takes a 17-footer, got fouled, it's good, and he's going to go on the line. Curry! He put on the brakes. Knowing Schroeder was chasing from behind off the screen, and Schroeder with just enough contact, and Curry has a chance for a three-point play.
Actually, that was later in the game. Curry's first shot was a three-pointer to start the game. They win 108-100. Either way, a lot of people picking them to win it again. We will see. Hey, speaking of the Golden State Warriors, you like super teams?
What are you going to say? It's the way of the future. It's the way it is now. So if you say you don't like it, you're being a knucklehead because it ain't going to change.
All right. We'll talk about it coming up here on Dukes and Bell. Another beautiful day in the A. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We appreciate you listening to Atlanta's number one sports show. Coming up, Brian Baldinger in about 20 minutes. We'll talk with him in our NFL Blitz segment. Get his thoughts on a variety of things around the National Football League as the Falcons get ready to take on the Giants. That's the Monday night game. But there are some other games and things going on around the NFL that a lot of folks are talking about. That's coming up at 3. We were just mentioning, you know, with the start of the Hawks season tonight and the NBA getting underway last night, these super teams. Mike, I'm kind of with you when you talk about this. I wish and I hope that we get to a point where we have a super team. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but let's just hype up that. Just look into the future with me. 4 years from now, okay? So that means Trae Young will have been in the league 3 years already. We become the most attractive team potentially in the league. We're young, athletic, we're playing well, we're maybe making the playoffs, and all of a sudden we get that transformative guy to join the team.
Right. I mean, we thought back in the day when, you know, the Hawks were doing some good things, they had those, you know, consecutive run back to the playoffs, that a guy like Dwight Howard, when his contract was up in Orlando, would want to come home. You know, and that was always a thought. Oh, we'll play with Josh and it'll be really cool. And that never materialized. And then we've always had, and bear with us if you're not familiar with this hypothesis, but there's always been this old nugget out there that a lot of players, you know, they like to have fun in the ATL. They don't necessarily want to live in the ATL, okay? They may have some special lady friends. I don't know if that's all a bunch of nonsense. There's so many athletes, though, of all the sports who live here and make their time here in the offseason. You'd think that, hey, man, you'd want to play here. It's such a vibrant town. You don't have to tell you guys you live here. But here's the deal. I'm not going to complain about the super team because it's just a reality of 2018. If anything, I'm surprised that Paul George didn't decide to go to L.A. and join LeBron. I'm kind of underwhelmed by what LeBron's got around him, and I thought there'd be more pieces because we just assumed they'd become a super team.
It's a great point, seeing Paul George last night. Now, listen, Craig and I were talking about this. I think Oklahoma City's going to be good just because now with Schroeder, no matter what we might think of him, you can take Westbrook off the ball, and Schroeder can run point, and Mike, you have another scorer now that doesn't have to worry about all that bringing the ball up the floor and getting other guys involved. He can literally just play offense. So that's a whole nother conversation. But you're right when you talk about Paul George, because that could have been a difference maker in L.A. But does the interest level go down? I'm watching Golden State last night. Like I said, I stayed up like the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's beating them. No Boogie Cousins last night. When Boogie is able to play, okay?
Right.
He's going to own the glass for them. So all of a sudden, whatever Draymond's not doing, Boogie is doing. Then you still have to deal with Durant and Curry and Clay. I'm looking around the league like nobody's beating them. And to me, doesn't that make the league less interesting?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you could argue that when the Bulls were going back to back to back and then a break and then back to back to back, the ratings were never higher because Michael Jordan obviously is the show. I mean, the dynasties, despite the fans might maybe not liking it, always produced the best ratings, baseball's best ratings when the Yankees were always in the mix. So, I mean, I get you. We're not even arguing the old fart argument. Yeah, teams should come together organically. They're drafted, and then you pick. Because in the old days, that's the way it was. You know what I mean? Like, the Knicks had, you know, Red Holtzman was the coach, and you picked up Bill Bradley and Earl the Pearl and Clyde and everybody else. And, you know, Willis Reed was there. And the Celtics, of course, because Red Auerbach was a genius. Because here's the thing. If you go back to the 60s and 70s, Lakers, Celtics, Knicks.
That's it.
You know, Milwaukee that's it. Bucks with Kareem.
Yeah.
You know, that's it wasn't like it's always been this, you know, maybe in our mind's eye we think that, wow, there were always classic battles, one win the sixth seed or whatever, one back then probably one of the four seed, you know, maybe not the case.
It's a great point. Lakers, Celtics in the 80s is what drove the NBA. They played 8 times in 10 years for the championship. Magic got 5, Bird got 3. And then you throw in, at the end of that decade, the Pistons. I mean, that's what it's been. And you just said it. You get to the 90s, it was the Bulls for 6 of those 10 years.
And I don't have to tell Hawks fans, I mean, we had teams that could win 50 games, but you couldn't break through, and you had one of the transformative players of the generation in Dominique Wilkins. And you had an amazing roster. Go back and look at the rosters of studs that played for the Atlanta Hawks, you know, and that shows you how the quality was in the East. That's when the West is where you wanted to be, because it was the Lakers and occasionally the Rockets.
It's interesting, guys. I think that the NBA, by the way, all this talk about the ratings being down, it's not true. The ratings are great. The league is thriving, and I think you see that. But when you look at, you know, the powerhouse teams or the teams that we're talking about that we consider super teams, you know, there's really only one right now. You could have said that with what was going on in Cleveland, maybe with LeBron, but was that just LeBron? Obviously, it was Miami, a few years previous to that, but Mike, I only see really one super team. I don't see the Celtics or the 76ers or Toronto Raptors as a super team. There's only one.
It is true. I mean, the Rockets, because don't you all? We all kind of figure that. Like,
are the Rockets?
Well, they better put Chris Paul on a pitch count because, you know, you need him to be able to be healthy when it comes crunch time. And that wasn't the case last year. But, I mean, like, you know, the Celtics. The other thing with the Celtics last year, even when Hayward went down, all these other guys stepped up. You know, all these guys are Marcus Smart and Terry, all the role players are making big contributions and were becoming stars in their own right last year.
Yeah. One last thing for me. It's just interesting conversation because as the league gets underway, you know, we hear people all the time, oh, I don't watch these super teams. Okay, because everyone else is. Everyone else is seeing and wanting to see what the Golden State Warriors are going to do. Can they three-peat? You know, can they do it? I mean, there's an element to that, but you know, the Rockets, I said this earlier, and I don't know if they got better or worse with Carmelo. You guys know how I feel about Melo. We'll see, okay? In the playoffs, when it matters most, Dukes is, and we'll see.
Where he goes, no champagne flows.
No. You had home court advantage last year. You were up in the series, and you blew it. That was your chance. You had the MVP in the beard.
You had your chance, and you blew it.
You didn't get it done. So you're telling me this year, all of a sudden, because they add Melo, that they're going to all of a sudden be better than the Warriors? I don't buy it. 404-741-0929, guys. We're going to talk plenty of football with Brian Baldinger coming up at 3 o'clock. We've been talking about the Falcons. And, you know, Dan Quinn, by the way, was asked about Julio Jones and Odell Beckham and the comparison of the two. Julio's a more complete receiver than Odell Beckham.
Well, the thing about Julio also, you know, no drama. You know, just, you know, other than whatever this was in the offseason, which apparently it wasn't anything because he's on pace for another record season as far as catching the ball. I mean, and we've already argued about the touchdowns. It is what it is. You know, other guys get open and he doesn't because, no, he gets open, but he's got 5 guys on him and draws coverage. I'm adding the number now. He's got 8 guys on him.
I remember that time Julio had 10 guys on him.
Well, defense is running a 2-9. Yeah. They put 2 down linemen and 9 guys on Julio. But, yeah. No, as far as the, The Giants, I mean, you could also blame the delivery system because Eli is just the hot mess and the offensive line is terrible. So whatever Beckham gets you this year, you know, good for him. But Beckham coming off the injury last year, some people say if you follow the Giants, that the one-handed catch was the worst thing that ever could have happened to him. To become that sort of next thing super-duper star where the ego just got so out of whack, and you're seeing it today.
It is interesting because that catch, you know, you thought everything was going to be like that. Here's our coach. This is Dan Quinn when asked about Julio! And Odell Beckham.
I would say the same type of explosiveness, you know, off the line. But quite honestly, you know, all the guys have different stuff that you go against. And as a coach, it's a lot of fun because different teams present different challenges.
Come on, DQ. You're supposed to say, our guy, next question.
We don't lock a guy on Odell Beckham, as you know, with our defense. I mean, unless you feel that at times when we go, man, you know, it's basically who's on the side that Odell Beckham's on. If it happens to be true, Fon, he'll get him. If it's Alford, if it's, you know, in some cases, the other guys, hopefully not Isaiah Oliver just yet. But, I mean, that's, you know, How much are we going to mix up, by the way, between the zone and then going man coverage in this game on Monday night?
Well, you remember, and this is part of what I think is going to happen Monday night, and we're going to chop this up over the next few days and certainly Monday before the game, but I think they're going to try to get Saquon against our linebackers. They think that's a mismatch. And, Mike, if they do that, right, and you're playing zone and he's catching all this stuff underneath, you kind of got to do what you did against the Bengals in the second half and go, right. Man, I don't think we're going to have a choice. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk more football with Brian Baldinger. We'll ask him about our Falcons, our running back situation, and what's he think about what else is going on around the league next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.